The 14th Perach continues with the first three Mishnayos talking about Shchuteis Chutz, the topic of our prior Perach. When is there a prohibition of doing either the Shchita or the Ha'alah or the Zrika outside of the Azara? And we're going to start off with Mishnah Aleph with examples of two quote-unquote Karbonos that in fact the Avoda on them was not done in the Azara at all. And accordingly, based on a pasuk, we'll see that because the avoda wasn't supposed to be inside the azara, if you did it outside the azara in the wrong way, you're also not going to be chayav on shchutei chutz. So the Mishnah says as follows: paras chatas. This is talking about the para aduma shesrafa chutz mi gita. When you have a para aduma, it's supposed to be burnt on har hazesim in what is called the gasa pit. That is where it was burned, and they would collect all the ashes of the para aduma. If somebody did that avoda on the para aduma, but outside of the area that it should have been done, but you're not going to be chayav on shchutei chutz or any of the other avoda that is done outside of the designated area, the pit on har hazesim, and we'll explain why shortly. V'chein, the second example in our Mishnah, Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, Shikrivu Bachutz, the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, was the he-goat that was sent out on Yom Kippur, and it was sent out into the Midbar, and it's thrown off of a cliff. Indeed, if that was not done correctly, the Avoda was done not in his proper place, then in each of these situations, it's going to be Potter. There's not going to be a violation of the Yisruim of Shchutei Chutz or Ala Bachutz, doing the Avoda outside the Azara, because it wasn't supposed to be done in the Azara anyway. And this is based on a pasuk that says as follows, Shene'emar, in talking about the Isser of doing the Avoda on Karbanas outside, Vel Pesach Oel Moed Lo Heviu. The prohibition is when you do something outside of the Azara, when the Avoda should have been done inside the Azara. You did not bring it in, and you should have brought it in. That is when we have a problem. However, kol she'eino roi laval pesach ohel moed, something that is not supposed to be done inside the ohel moed, inside the azura, in any case, it's supposed to be done outside of it. You're not doing the right thing, but ein chayavin alav, but it is not a situation that you're going to be chayav. If you did it intentionally, that you would be chayav karetz, and if it was not intentional, that you would be chayav to bring a korban chatas. Mishnah Beis continues the prohibition of bringing korbanos outside the Azara. And in fact, we're going to talk about a category or a number of categories that there's not going to be a chiyuv, even though they are brought outside of the Azara. And for the specific reason, because even if they were brought inside the Azara, they would be disqualified anyway. So if it's disqualified for bringing on the inside and it's brought on the outside, it's not going to be the Isser of bringing korbanos outside the Azara. So Mishnah Beis starts as follows, Haroveya, if we have an animal that sodomized a person, a woman, Vahanirba, and it was an animal that was sodomized by a man, Vahamukta, an animal that was designated for idolatry purposes, Vahanevad, or it was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, Vahetnan, if it was used to pay a harlot, Vahamechir, if it was bartered for a dog, Vakilaim, it's a hybrid animal, Vahatrefa, Vayotzidofen, it was born through C-section, Shehikrivan Bachutz, in any of those circumstances, if the Hakrava was done outside the Azar, it is going to be Potter, it's not going to be a Chiyuv of the Isser, it's not going to be, if it's done intentionally, a Kares, or unintentionally, if it's a Chatas, that's not the situation, Shneemar, because we learn from Apostle Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, and talking about when is there an Isser of bringing a Korban outside the Azara. That is, if it should have been brought, it was qualified to be brought inside on the Mizbeach, however, if it was disqualified anyway, then there's not going to be a chiyuv. Kol she'eino roi lavol lifnei Mishkan Hashem, anything that cannot be brought in front of the Mishkan Hashem, in other words, it can't be brought on the Mizbeach anyway, and it was brought outside, ein chayavin alav, it's not going to be a chiyuv. And now we're going to see three categories, additional categories that we're going to have a machlokes between the Tana Kama and Rebbe Shimon. So it's going to be very similar or the same machlokes that we will see in the next three categories of korbanos. Ba'ale mumim, if we have an animal that has a defect, it has a mum, and it can't be brought, and the Tana Kama is of the view, ben ba'ale mumim kfuin, ben ba'ale mumim ovrim, whether it be a sort of blemish that is permanent, that is kavua. And even if it's not permanent, right now it's a blemish, but it will heal in the future. It doesn't matter. We just look at right now, right at this point, that animal could not be brought inside on the Mizbeach. Accordingly, she krivan b'chutz, in either of those examples, whether it's permanent or not, and somebody brought it outside, it's going to be potter. That's not going to be the iser of shchute chutz, because it's not fit to be brought inside anyway, even if in the future it will be fit to be brought inside. Rabbi Shimon has a different take on it. Rabbi Shimon Omer Bali Mumin Kvuim Potter. I agree. If that blemish is permanent and it's brought outside, that's going to be potter, because it can never be brought inside on the Mizbeach. However, Bale Mumim Ovrim, if it has the type of blemish that will heal itself in the future, will be healed in the future, and somebody brought that outside, Ovrim Belota, say, I agree with you that it's not going to be the classic Chiyuv, that if somebody brings Chute Chutz that we've been talking about in this Perek, last Perek, that if it's done intentionally, then it's a chiyuv of kares, and non-intentionally, that it's a chiyuv of chatas. I agree that with that, but if we have the situation that it's a balmum that is an over, that it will indeed heal itself, that is a lotase. That is still a violation of a lav, a negative precept in the Torah. It's based on his understanding of a pasuk. So that is the first machlokas that we have between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, and now we're going to have the second one along the same vein. Torim shalohigiyaz manam. If we have a bird offering of turtle doves, and shalohigiyaz manan, meaning they are too young, they haven't reached maturity yet, and the Torah requires that when somebody brings a turtle dove, the age of that, the birds have to be that they reach maturity. Ubnei yona sha'avarz manan. And the reverse, when it comes to a pigeon offering, it's too old. It's too old, it's not too young, it's too old. In this situation, she krivan b'chutz, and somebody brought it outside of the Azora. In both of those situations, it's going to be potter. Why? Because those birds cannot be brought inside on the Mizbeach right now. That's the teach. That's the Tanakama, the view of the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, as we said before, Rabbi Shimon's view is if it can't be brought now, but it could be brought in the future, then it's going to be a lav. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bnei Yona, Sha'avar Zman, and if you're talking about the Bnei Yona, those pigeons that are too old, those are not able to be brought inside on the Mizbeach and never will be. They're not going to get younger. So accordingly, if somebody brings it outside, it's potter. However, when it comes to Vitorim Shelo Higiyaz Manam, when you're talking about the turtle doves, that they're too young, it will be in the future that they will be old enough to have been brought inside on the Mizbeach. And accordingly, if somebody brings it outside, despite the fact that right now it's not valid to be brought inside, but it will be valid to be brought inside if somebody brings it outside. Below Tase, that is going to be a lav in the Torah. And third example of this same machlokas, also Vesmano, there is a pasuk in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to be makriv a mother and child in the same day. So the case would be if somebody brought the one, either the mother or the child, inside on the regular Mizbeach, and then the second one outside of the Azara, then the Tanakama would say, as we'll see shortly, that's going to be potter. Why? Because they are disqualified for being brought in the same day. So if you brought one inside and one outside, that is going to be potter. Same thing with umechusar zman. If the animal is not old enough, the Torah tells us that an animal has to be a minimum of 8 days old in order to be brought as a korban, and it's 7 days or less than that, and somebody brought it outside the Azara, it's going to be potter because it's disqualified from being brought inside. That's the Tanakama again. Rabbi Shimon Omer again, Rabbi Shimon is of the view that if it's something that can be brought in the future, it would be valid inside, and you brought it outside, that's going to be a lav. So he says as follows, Rabbi Shimon Omer Harezeh Belotase. This is a lav, because had you waited, Oso Vesmano, you brought the mother, for example, inside, had you waited until the next day, you could bring the child inside, so it's just a matter of time, it's just Mechusar Zman. Accordingly, if you brought it that day, it's not going to be the classic Shchute chutz, that you're going to be chayav a karis and a chatas, but it is going to be a lav. And the same thing with the umechusar zman, if it's not 8 days old, had you waited till it's 8 days old, it would have been qualified to be brought inside. Accordingly, when somebody brings it outside and it's less than 8 days old, it's not going to be the classic shchute chutz with a karis and a, or a korban, but it indeed is going to be a lav. And now we explain Rabbi Shimon's general shita, shaya Rabbi Shimon Omer. This was the view of Rabbi Shimon in all of these three categories that we talked about right now, koshu, roi, lavo, la'achazman, anything that will be eligible had we just waited a certain amount of time till it became eligible, Hareze belota sevein bo kares. It's not going to be a kares because it's not the classic shchute chutz, because it's not eligible to be brought right now. But it will be a lav, it will be a lotase, because it's just a matter of time until it can be brought. V'chachamim omim, chachamim are the view, as we've seen now three times, kol she'en bo kares, anytime that we have shchute chutz, that there is not a kares, because it's ineligible to be brought right now on the mizbeach inside. Ein bolotase, even though it could be qualified in the future, will be qualified in the future if you waited enough time. Nonetheless, we just look at it as qualified right now, because it's not qualified right now. There's not a kares, and there's also not a lav in the Torah. Mishnah Gimel is a continuation of the prior Mishnah. Mechusar Zman, this concept that if something is not ready to be brought as a korban because it's not its proper time, this applies bein begufo, bein bebalav. This applies bein begufo, the guf of the korban. For example, what we mentioned in the prior Mishnah is if that korban, that animal, is not 8 days old yet, then if somebody does hakrav or halah b'chutz, does the offering of that animal outside the azara, that is not going to be a chiyuv, because that is an invalid animal to be brought on the inside. Now, that concept of mechusar zman, it's not a proper time, applies not only to the guf, the animal itself, but bein bebalav, it also applies for the balim, the owner bringing that korban. It's not the proper time yet either. And now we'll explain, eizehu mechusar zman bebalav. What does that mean? That it's not the proper time for the korban to be brought. So we're going to bring various examples. Hazav, somebody, a male who sees various flows from his body, that he's required to bring a korban on the 8th day thereafter, after he's been cleaned the 8th day, he brings a korban. V'hazav, a woman who's seen various flows from her body, again, 7 clean days, 8th day she brings a korban. V'yoledes, a yoledes, a woman who gave birth, brings a korban for a male, if it was a baby boy that was born, she brings it on the 41st day after giving birth, and for a baby girl on the 81st day. So it's 80 days, and then on the next day thereafter, on the 81st day, she brings the korban. Umetzora, somebody who had tzoras. Again, this mitzora, 7 days you have to wait. On the 8th day, you bring the korban. Now, what's important, and it's going to be important coming up in our Mishnah, is we've just mentioned the Zav, Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora, all of them bring a minimum of 2 korbanas. All of them will bring a chatas and an ola. A chatas and an ola. The Mitzora brings not only a chatas and ola, but additionally brings an asham. Brings 3 korbanas, the Mitzora, a chatas, ola, and asham. So all of those, shikrivu chatasam v'ashamam b'chutz. If any of these that we just mentioned would bring their chatas, or for purposes of the Mitzora, would bring the asham b'chutz, outside of the azara, before the proper time, which means if they're supposed to be waiting, that's for the Zav, and the Zav and the Mitzora, they're supposed to wait for the 8th day, bring the korban then, but they brought it bachutz, outside the Azara, earlier than the 8th day, or the Oledes brings it before the proper time, before the 41st day for a baby boy being born, or the 81st day for a baby girl being born, peturim. There is not going to be an isser of bringing that korban bachutz outside of the Azara, because had these korbanos be brought inside the Azara, they would have been invalid. It's not the proper time, and that's what we're talking about, a mechusar zman for the baalim. It's not the proper time for the owners of those korbanos to bring their korbanos. On the other hand, oloseim v'shalmeihim b'chutz, if the ola for each of the categories that we listed, the zav, yoledes, mitzora, if it was the korban ola, not the korban chatas, the asham, but the korban ola that they brought outside of the azara, or for purposes of a nazir, at the end of the Nazirus, the Nazir brings the number of korbanos, including a shlami, v'shalmeim b'chutz. So the Nazir brought the shlamim b'chutz outside of the Azara. In that instance, it's going to be chayavim. That is going to violate the prohibition of bringing a korban outside the Azara. And the reason and the distinction between, for example, the chatas that you're going to be pater and the ola that you're going to be chayavan, is that a chatas and an asham that you're pater on, there there is no concept of bringing those as a nedava. They are specifically for the tahara process of those categories that we listed before, and they could not bring it simply because they want to bring it as a volitional korban. So it was brought at the wrong time. On the other hand, when it comes to the bringing of an ola, or for the nazir, a shlamim, those can be brought as nedava. So even though these people, they were not their 8th days, for example, it was the 6th day, 7th day, but the shlamim, although they have to bring a shlamim as a nazir, the ola, the rest of them have to bring in a korban ola, although they have to bring it on the 8th day, for example, but had they brought it earlier, they could have brought one inside the azara, not for purposes of being mechaper on their tuma, but they could have brought it for as an adava. And accordingly, if they bring it outside, even though it's not the proper time for them to bring it for the cleansing of their zava, etc., but they are going to be chayiv when they bring that bachutz. Continuing, we're now going to see two additional categories when somebody brings a korban bachutz that they are not going to be chayiv on the isser of bringing, offering a korban outside the azara. Category number one is items that, had they been brought inside the azara, they would not have been put on the mizbeach. In other words, we have, for example, we'll see shortly, meat. Meat from korbanos, they were to be eaten. The meat is supposed to be eaten, for example, by the kohanim, and if somebody put it on the mizbeach inside, so that's not a korban at all. You're supposed to be maktir certain things inside, and if that is done outside, if you take items that wouldn't have been put on the mizbeach inside and you put on the mizbeach outside, that is not the issue we're talking about. Then the second category of items are if you do an action that you is not a gemar avoda. It's not the end of the avoda. It's simply a part of the process in bringing a korban or korban mincha, korban an animal, but it's not the gemar, the end of the avoda, as we'll define. Then if you do that outside as well, there's not going to be a chiyuv. So starting with category number one, hama'ale mipsar chatas. If somebody would take the meat of a korban chatas, supposed to be eaten by kohanim, not to be put on the mizbeach, and the person put it on the mizbeach outside the azara, or mipsar asham, from the meat of the korban asham, mipsar kodshei kodashim, or from other meat, other korbanos that are kodshei kodashim, mipsar kodshei kalim, or he puts on the meat that's supposed to be eaten of kodshei kalim, not kodshei kodashim, kodshei kalim. The concept here is any meat that's supposed to be eaten, and instead of having eaten it, or somebody eating it, it's a person put it up onto a mizbeach outside the azara. Umosara Omer, the Korban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, and what they would do is they would do a kmitza of it, that would be brought, and the Mosar is what was left of the flour, and that's to be eaten by the Kohanim. Ushtei Alechem, that's the Korban that's brought on Shavuos, and they are eaten by, those two loaves are eaten by the Kohanim. Velechem Apanim, that's brought and switched out every single Shabbos, the 12 showbreads, those are eaten by the Kohanim, Mashiach Menachos, and when somebody would bring a Korban Mincha, so you do the Kemitza, you offer the Kemitza part of it on the Mizbeach, and the leftover flour, that's eaten by the Kohen. So this is all the same concept. If somebody took something that was supposed to be eaten, either by Kohen or somebody else, but it's supposed to be eaten, and put it on the Mizbeach, outside of the Azara, that is not the Issur that we're talking about of Ha'ala'a Bachutz. Continuing the next category of items, as we mentioned before, these are items that are not the Gemar Avoda, the last Avoda in bringing of Korban, for example. Here we go, Hayotzek, if somebody is dealing with a Korban Mincha and pours the oil onto the Korban Mincha outside of the Azara, Habolel, if somebody mixes oil into the Korban Mincha, into the flour of the Mincha, Hapotet, for certain types of the Korban Mincha that was baked or cooked, somebody broke it into pieces outside the Azara, Hamolel, somebody put salt onto a Korban, onto a mincha outside the azara, hameinif, somebody brings a korban, somebody shakes a korban, certain korbanas have to be waved, for example, korban mincha, you wave it up and down, if you did it outside the azara, hamagish, somebody brings a korban mincha to the mizbeach, hamisader as a shulchan, somebody sets up a table, just like the lechem apani, but all of this is done outside the azara, vahameiti vesaneru, so somebody prepares the neiros of a menorah to be lit also outside the azara. Vahakomets, somebody does a kmitza on a korban mincha. Vahamekabel damim bachutz, and somebody does a kabbalah of a korban. Again, when it comes to a korban of an animal, interestingly, the gemar avoda, the completion of the avoda, is only the zrika. So if somebody does the Kabbalah or Halacha outside of the Azara, there's not going to be a Chiv. And we would say the same thing when it comes to Shechita. Shechita is not a Gemar Malacha, only the Zrika is, but there's a Pasuk that says explicitly that if somebody does Shechita outside the Azara, that is Asar. But all of these other ones, with the exception of the Shechita has the exception, because there's a Pasuk that says that there's an Isser to do it Bachutz, outside of the Azara. All of these other things that we've listed here are not the Gemar Avoda. They're not the end game. It's not like a Zrika at the end. If you indeed do something outside of the Azara, that is the Gemar Avoda. It's the last act, the Zrika, for example. Then that's the Isser of Halah Bachutz. But all of these other things that we listed just now, because it's not the end of the avoda, somebody does it outside the Azara, that is not going to be the Isser of Halah Bachutz. And continuing, when it comes to the second category of items, the actions that are not the Gemar Avoda, Ein Chayavin, Alav, Lo Mishum Zaros, there is not going to be an Isser if somebody does it who is a non-Kohen. If somebody who is a non-Kohen does it out in the Azara, even inside the Azara, there is not going to be an Isser of a non-Kohen doing these activities. So what we're talking about now, even these activities, these non-Gemar Avoda activities that are done inside the Azara, if a non-Kohen does it, that's not going to be the Isser, it's not going to be Usser, it's not going to be the Isser of had a non-Kohen done the Zrika, for example. Or if a Kohen does it inside the Azara, these non-Gemar Malacha, typically there's an Isser for a Kohen to do an Avoda Bituma. If he does, for example, the Shechita when he's Tamei, or if he does the Zrika when Tamei, but if he does one of these activities that are not the Gemar Avoda, V'lo Mishum Tuma, that is not going to be the Isser, because it's not going to be... Now, what we're talking about, Ein Chayavi now, in all this list, we're about to list four things, there's not going to be a Chiyuv of Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's going to be Isser, but it's not going to be Misa Bidei Shamayim that the person will receive a death punishment from heaven. So again, let's start Ein Chayavin. All of these things that we list in these non-Gemar Malachas, it's not going to be a Chiyuv of Misa Bidei Shamayim. Ein Chayavim Alav Lo Mishum Zaros. If a non-Kohen does any of these activities inside the Azara, V'lo Mishum Tuma. If a Kohen does these non-Gemar Malachas, but Bituma, that's not going to be Misa Bidei Shamayim. If they did a Gemar Avoda, Bituma, that would be Misa Bidei Shamayim, but not these. If Lo Mishum Mechusar Begadim, if a Kohen does something that is a Gemar Malach Avoda, for example, does the Zrika and is not wearing all of the clothing that he's required to wear, then he would be Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. But if he did something that's not a Gemar Avoda, then he would not be Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. V'lo Mishum Mechus Yadayim V'raglayim, a Kohen who does any Gemar Avoda, for example, the Zrika, without having washed his hands and feet, that is a requirement. He would be Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. However, if he did any of these actions in the second category of non-Gemar Avoda, and he did it without having washed hands and feet, again, there would not be a Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim. Mishnah Dalet and thereafter, for another four Mishnayos, we're going to talk about certain limited times in the history of Klal Yisrael that the prohibition of bringing korbanos outside of the Azara, outside the central place that we had as a Mishkan, for example, or the Beis HaMikdash, outside of that, it was indeed permitted. And that's called a bama, a personal mizbeach that was permitted at certain times, that if somebody had a neder or a nadava to bring a volitional offering, it was permitted to bring it even though it was outside the central place that Klal Yisrael brought korbanos. So that is going to be the focus of the Mishnayos. So it's going to be an interesting discussion historically of when were the bamos permitted and when they were not permitted. So we're going to start out at the beginning. Mishnah Dalet, at shalohu kama mishkan, when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar after Yetzias Mitzrayim, before the Mishkan was built, hayu habamos mutar, so it was permitted for people to have bamos, build private mizbechos, to bring their build their own private altars. And in fact, at that time, before the building of the Mishkan, va'avoda bebechoros, it wasn't that the avoda was done by the Kohanim, but it was done by the Bechoros, the firstborn sons. They were effectively the Kohanim. They were the original Kohanim. They were intended to be the Kohanim. So that's how it was originally. Mishuhu kama Mishkan. Once the Mishkan itself was built, in the Midbar. At that point, two things changed. Ne'asru ha-bamos, because we have the Mishkan now, we have a central place to bring our karbanos. So personal private bamos, those private altars, were prohibited. You can't bring even an neder or a nadava outside of the courtyard of the Mishkan. And in addition, vavoda b'kohanim, and the avoda in the Mishkan was done by the Kohanim, no longer by the Bechoros, by the firstborn sons. And continuing, when there is a Mishkan, we have limitations on where the meat of the Korbanos can be eaten. Kodshei Kodashim, Achalim Lifnim Min HaKalayim, the Kodshei Kodashim, the meat of the Kodshei Kodashim that was eaten, that could only be eaten inside the curtains around the courtyard of the Mishkan. And Kodshei Kalim b'chol machane Yisrael. And Kodshei Kalim could be eaten not only in there, inside the courtyard, but also throughout the machane Yisrael, which was in the Midbar. That meant where all of the 12 tribes where they were living and surrounding the Mishkan, the meat of the Kodshei Kalim could be eaten in that entire area, but not further out from that area. Mishnah Hey continues the prior Mishnah. When Klal Yisrael Baula Gilgal, at the time of Yeshua, they came into the land of Israel and they built the Mishkan in a place called Gilgal. At that point, v'chutru abamos, again, the bamos were permitted if people wanted to bring their private karbanos elsewhere. Kodshei kodashim ne'achalim lifnim min hakalayim, and again, the kodshei kodashim, that could only be brought in the Mishkan itself, and that could only also be eaten inside the confines of the Mishkan. However, Kodshei Kalim b'chol makom, at that point, because they weren't set up as an encampment like they were in the Midbar. In the Midbar, the Kodshei Kalim was limited to be eaten in the Machane, the maximum of the Machane Yisrael. You couldn't go out of the Machane Yisrael further away and eat the Kodshei Kalim. But now in Eretz Yisrael, where the land is being settled, we didn't have a camp. We didn't have everyone living, the 12 Shvatim living around the Mishkan. So the Kodshei Kalim, based on a Pasuk, weren't limited and could be eaten b'chol makom. They could be eaten anywhere that somebody desired to meet to eat their Kodshei Kalim. Mishnah Vav continues our historical tracking of where the Mishkan was and if Shchutei Chutz was permitted or not. If we say that Bamot were permitted outside of the Mishkan, then Shchutei Chutz was not in Isser, bringing Korbanos outside of the Mishkan. However, if we say that Bamos were not permitted, that all the Korbanos had to be done inside the Mishkan, then Shchutei Chutz is in Isser. So Mishnah Vav says as follows, Ba'u L'Shilo, after the Mishkan was in Gilgal for 14 years, and that was the time that Klal Yisrael was on conquest in the land of Israel, they were dividing up the land of Israel for 14 years. Thereafter, the Mishkan was relocated to Shilo for 369 years. And the Mishnah says as follows, Ba'u L'Shilo, once they came to Shilo, Ne'asru habamos, the bamros were prohibited. So all korbanos had to be brought only in the Mishkan in Shilo. Lo haya sham tikra. Now we're going to find the architecture of the Mishkan in Shilo. It did not have a solid roof on top of it, ela bayis shel avanim lamatan, but it did have a stone structure to the Mishkan underneath, so not on the roof, but the rest of it was a stone structure. This was different from the Mishkan when it was in Gilgal, and different from the Mishkan as it was in the Midbar. What was the same is V'yirios Milamalan. It still had the curtains the same as previously the Mishkan had, but the structure otherwise was different. V'haisa Minucha. And it was Minucha. What is this referring to? So this is referring to a Pasuk in Devarim, Yud Beis Pasuk test that says ki lo batem ad hata el hamenucha vel hanachala, you have not come yet to hamenucha and nachala. And Chazal tell us the drasha is as follows. This is talking about when are bamos permitted. So bamos are not permitted when you are in menucha, which is talking about Shilo, and nachala is talking about Yerushalayim, when you have the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. That is when bamos are not permitted. But prior to coming to Shilo and between Shilo and Yerushalayim, bamos would be permitted, but not when you're in Shilo. At the time of Menucha, v'hi haisa Menucha, as the Mishnah says, bamos were indeed prohibited. And now the Mishnah ends off with a similar statement, but not exactly the same. Kodshei Kodashim ne'achalim lifnim ne'akalayim. When it comes to the Kodshei Kodashim, at the time of Shilo, they had to be eaten within the curtains, that means within the confines of the Mishkan. On the other hand, Kodshei Kalim u'maiser sheni b'chol haroa. This was at the time that Klal Yisrael had to start taking off maiser sheni as well. That was one of the tithes that were brought during certain years of the Shemitah cycle. So Kodshei Meiser Sheni, at the time that we had a base of Mikdash, had to be eaten in Yerushalayim, the city in Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim. So at the time that we were in Shiloh, it also had to be eaten close to Shiloh. It didn't have to necessarily be in Shiloh, because it says as follows, Kodshei Kalim Umaiser Sheni, they have the same gedarim, the same requirements, Bechol Haroeh, as long as you could see it. And the question is, the Meforshim grapple with, are we talking about as long as you could see the Mishkan, which was in Shiloh, or as long as you can see Shiloh from wherever you were, then you can eat the Kodshei Kalim and the Maiser Sheni. Mishnah Zayin picks up on the Mishkan and its various locations. So we mentioned in the prior Mishnah that the Mishkan was located in Shiloh for 369 years. It was the Plishtim that destroyed the Mishkan in Shiloh. They took the Aron Kodesh away. They were smitten by various health issues, and they sent back of their own volition the Aron Kodesh. They didn't want to deal with it anymore. And that is when Ba'u Lenov, Klal Yisrael, built the Mishkan in Nov. It stayed in Nov for 13 years until it was destroyed during the reign of Shaul HaMelech, and thereafter it was built in Legivon for 44 years until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and brought it from Givon, brought the Aron Kodesh and everything else, brought that from Givon to Yerushalayim. So at that time, Ba'u Lenov LeGivon, during the 13 years that the Mishkan was in Nov and the 44 years it was in Givon, Bamos, Hutru, Abamos, Bamos were permitted. People were allowed to bring certain karbanas outside of the Mishkan in those places. And the Mishnah continues, Kodshei Kodashim, Nachalim, Lifnim, Nekalayim, in Nov and Givon, the Kodshei Kodashim could only be brought and eaten inside of the Mishkan itself. However, because there was a Heter Havabamos, people could bring certain korbanos outside of the Mishkan, Kodshei Kalim b'chol Arei Yisrael. When people brought their Kodshei Kalim, just like they could bring those korbanos wherever they so desired, they were also permitted to eat the meat for those korbanos anywhere else they desired in the land of Israel. Mishnah Ches continues, Ba'u Yerushalayim, one Shlomo HaMelech in the 11th year of his reign, brought the Aron, brought everything else from Givon to Yerushalayim. At that point, Nesru HaBamos, again, Bamos were prohibited, but this time it was permanent. They would never allowed be a permit to bring korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo haya lehem od heter. There was never another heter to bring bamos, to build your bamos, and bring korbanos outside. V'yaisa nachala. And this, as we mentioned in the Pasuk, we'll mention it again, and this is brought by the Bar Tanura, the Pasuk in Dvarim Yud Beis, Pasuk Teski, lobata mad ata al hamenucha v'la nachala. Now that you've reached nachala, which is Yerushalayim, there is going to be no further permit to have bamos. They are now permanently banned. So that's V'yaisa nachala. And now, a resounding statement, similar to what we've seen before, Kodshei Kodashim, Nachalim, Lifnim, Minakalayim, the Kodshei Kodashim, they could only be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and also they can only be eaten the meat from them in the Beis HaMikdash, in the confines of the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Chatzer, the Beis HaMikdash, the courtyard, Kodshei Kalim, Umaiser Sheni, Lifnim, Minachoma, and when it came to the Kodshei Kalim, and also the Maiser Sheni, they had to be eaten within the wall of the old city of Yerushalayim. There was only one city at that time, so within the confines of the wall of Yerushalayim. Mishnah test builds on the prior Mishnayos, where we saw that were certain times that bamos were permitted, and accordingly there was not an isser of shchitas chus, and conversely there were times that the bamos were prohibited and there was an isser of shchutei chutz, and that will cause us some complexities as follows. We'll look at three different situations, the first one being the most simple, kol hakodshim shigdishan bishas iser bamos vihikrivan bishas iser bamos bachutz. If we have a situation, for example, when we were in Shiloh Shiloh, it was prohibited to have bamos bachutz, and if somebody indeed was makdish, if he designated an animal for a korban, he sanctified it to be brought as a korban at that time, because that was the time that there was an iser bamos, you're not allowed to bring your own korbanos outside of Shiloh, v'hi krivan b'shas iser bamos, and he also brought a korban at that time, that you're not allowed to bring korbanos outside of Shiloh, but he brought it bachutz. He did bring it outside of Shiloh, so he did both the act of sanctifying the animal, and he also brought the korban outside of the Mishkan in Shiloh. The Mishnah tells us that he violates three things. Hare elu ba'aseh, there's an isra'aseh, we'll explain shortly. The losaseh, there's also the lotaseh. And number three, v'chayavim aleim karis, is also a chiyuv of karis. That's what we've seen before. We've been talking about the chiyuv of kares, if somebody intentionally brings an animal, shchute chutz or halaba chutz, you bring it outside of where it should have been brought, that is kares if it's intentional. If it's not intentional, it's a korban. But what is this violation of an ase and a lotase? So we're going to look into Bar Tanura, the second explanation of the Bar Tanura, that there was a positive commandment, v'hev yum la'Hashem, at a time that you cannot have bamos, you have to bring it to Hashem in the proper place, for example, in Shiloh or in the Beis HaMikdash. And if somebody brought it outside, you are not fulfilling the aseh to bring it inside. So that is the violation of the aseh. And also there's a lotaseh, that if you bring it outside, the pasuk says explicitly, Hisham lecha pen tale olasecha, be warned. Be careful, do not bring your ola, do not bring your korban outside of where you should be bringing it. So in other words, there's a mitzvah aseh that was violated, there was a lotaseh that was violated, and there's also a chiyuv of kares in the situation in the reisha of the Mishnah. Second scenario, hikdishan bishash heter bamos, if somebody was makdish the animal as a korban at a time where you were allowed to bring it outside of the Mishkan, for example, when we were in Gilgal, there was no iser bringing certain korbanos outside of the Mishkan that was in Gilgal. However, so that's okay so far. V'hikrivan bishas iser bamos, but you were makrivit at the time that, for example, they already moved to Shiloh. When they moved to Shiloh from Gilgal, now there is no heter bamos. There is an iser of shchutei chutz. And indeed, despite the fact that he was makdishit when it was okay, he was makrivit, he brought it. When it was not okay, there was no heter to do that. In this situation, hare elu ba'ase v'los ase, you're going to violate number one and number two, the ase that you're supposed to bring it, in our example, in Shiloh. You're violating the lot ase because you're not supposed to bring it outside of Shiloh. However, ve'en chayavim aleim karetz, there's not going to be a chiyuv karetz. To violate the chiyuv karetz, you actually have to be in the reisha of our Mishnah, and just like it was in the Mishkan, that you would be makdishit and makrivit, and there was an iser of bamos, so too, in order to violate the chiyuv karis, it has to be that you were makdishit when you shouldn't have been makdishit, and also because there was no heter bamos, and also you're makrivit because there was no heter bamos. Next situation, third situation, is going to be the reverse of the second situation. Hikdishan bishas iser bamos. Here you were makdishit in the time that there was an iser bamos. For example, you were makdishit when we were in Shiloh. The Mishkan was in Shiloh. There's no heter bamos. All korbanos have to be brought inside of the Mishkan in Shiloh. So you shouldn't have done that. V'hikrivan bishat heter abamos, but you were makrivit at a time that it was okay. For example, when they had already moved to Nov. The Mishkan was now in Nov. There is a heter of bamos. There's not an iser of shchutei chutz, but you were makdishit at a time that there was an iser. So in this situation, hare elu ba'aseh, you're going to violate the aseh. We'll explain why shortly. Be'en behem lo taseh, you do not violate the lo taseh of being makrivit because there's a heter bamos, and certainly there's no kares. So why do you violate in this situation the aseh and not the other two? So we're going to look into the Bar Tanur, hiktishan bishat isra bamos. He says as follows, you were makdishit at the time that you shouldn't have because there was no heter, there was an isra of abamos, mahishata. At that time that you were makdish that animal, karina behu v'heviyum la'Hashem, we call it that you have the aseh to bring it to the proper place. You have to bring it to Shiloh, because there's no heter abamos. You have to bring it to the Mishkan in Shiloh. V'kevan shehimtin ad shelo yachol lekayma, because he was makdishit, he should have brought it to Shiloh, but he didn't bring it immediately. He waited, and now he can no longer do that. He can no longer bring it to Shiloh. Nitbatel aseh yado, he was mevatel the Aseh. The Aseh was, he said, I'm going to be Makdish it, I'm going to bring it in Shiloh. He waited, he can no longer bring it in Shiloh. He can no longer fulfill the Aseh, so he is nullifying the Aseh. However, when it came to the Lav and the Kares, you only violate the Lav and the Kares when you bring it, when you're makriv it in a place you shouldn't have brought it. And here, at the time that he's finally being makriv the korban, there's a heter, abamas, you're allowed to bring it outside. So he did shchutei chutz on an animal, the actually action was okay, but because he was makdi shit, when it was not okay, because there was no heter bamos, he violated the asay, and he did not violate the lotasay, and the kares, because the action of bringing it was done at a time that there was a heter habamos. Mishnah Yud is the final Mishnah of our Perek, and also the final Mishnah of Masechet Zvachim, and it's going to tell us that three times when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, when Klal Yisrael entered the land of Israel, it was there for 14 years, and then it was in Nov and Giv'on. Those were the times that there was also a heter habamos, that people could bring certain korbanos outside of the Mishkan. And the words that define the Mizbeach and the Mishkan and the Mizbechot outside the Mishkan was Bama Gedola. Bama Gedola, the big Bama, the big altar, refers to the Mizbeach that was in the Mishkan. But there was also the Bama Katana, which were the other Bamas, the other altars that you were permitted to bring your personal offerings as well. So Mishnah Yud is going to tell us the distinctions and comparisons between when we had the Bama Gedola and the Bama Katana, and it's all talking about the times that the Mishkan was located in Gilgal, Nov, and Givon, because only at those times was there the Heter Habamos. So Mishnah Yud tells us as follows, at those times, Elu Kochim Kravin B'Mishkan, even though there were times, those three times, that there was a Heter Habamos and you could bring certain korbanos outside of the Mishkan, but certain korbanos had to be brought only in the Mishkan at the Bama Gedola. Elu Kochim Kravin B'Mishkan, Kochim Shehuktu L'Mishkan, we're talking now about those Kochim that were sanctified to be brought in the Mishkan, which were the korbanos at Sibor, Kravim b'Mishkan. Anything that was given and as a korban Sibor, those were the ones that had to be brought in the Mishkan, which was called the Bama Gdola. Those could not be brought outside of the Mishkan on the Bama Katanos. The korbanos hayachid b'Bama, when it came to the korbanos hayachid, individual korbanos, that's what was permitted to bring on the Bama Katanos outside of the Mishkan. In addition, not only were the korbanos tzibur required to be brought inside the Mishkan at those three times, korbanos hayachid shehuktu shula Mishkan yikrivu b'Mishkan. If somebody said, I'm going to designate, I'm dedicating a korban hayachid, which otherwise could be brought on a Bama Katana, but he said, I'm going to designate this korban, I'm donating it, and it's going to be brought only on the Bama Gedola, it's only going to be brought in the Mishkan. Accordingly, Yikruv Mishkan, it can be brought only in the Mishkan. So, bottom line then is there are two categories of korbanos. Even at a time of Heter Habamos, there are two categories that had to be brought only in the Mishkan itself. Number one was korbanos Tzibor, and number two is even korbanos Hayachid, individual korbanos, but the person who dedicated it said, I'm going to bring it in the Mishkan. Vim hi krivan babama, in that second category, that somebody said, I am bringing a korban yachid, my own korban, but I'm going to bring it in the Mishkan, and didn't. Vim hi krivan babama, he brought it on a bama outside of the Mishkan. Potter, that is not going to be the isser of shchutei chutz, bringing a korban outside of the Mishkan, outside of the base of Mikdash. Why? Because this is talking about a time that there was a heter habamos. So even though the person violated his vow, he should have brought it in the Mishkan because he made that committed, but that's not considered shchutei chutz, that there would be a chiyuv if it was intentional, that there would be a chayuv kares, or if it was unintentional, that he'd bring out korban for it. Now continuing, ma bein bamas yachid de bamas tzibur, what's the difference between when you bring a korban on the bamas yachid, the bama outside of the Mishkan, and the bama of the tzibur, that's the bama gedola, in the Mishkan itself? There were certain requirements that applied only in the Mishkan, that's the Bama Sibor, and did not apply outside. There were certain stringencies that applied inside and not outside, as we will see right now. We're going to have a listing. Smicha, when it came to leaning on the head of the Korban, that only applied inside the Mishkan, not outside. Shchita Tzafon, if you were bringing a Kodshei Kodashim, you only needed to do the shechita in the tzafon, the northern part of the azara, of the chatzer, of the courtyard, of the mishkan. That only applied when you were bringing it in the mishkan, but not on a private bama. Umatan saviv, if somebody was bringing a shlamim or ola, if you brought it inside the mishkan, there was a requirement to do the zrika shnayim shena arba. We've seen that before in Ezum Makaman in particular, that the zrika was done on two corners and it spritzed onto four sides of the mizbeach. So that applied only in the mishkan, not on the bama katana. You did only one application of blood if you did it on your personal bama. Utnufa, when it came to the korban mincha, the waving of the korban mincha, it only applied in the mishkan. Vahagasha, and bringing it up to the mizbeach, that's the korban mincha, that applied only in the mishkan. And Reb Yudo here is going to mention something, and then we're going to continue with our list of differences between the mishkan and outside the mishkan. Reb Yehuda omer ein mincha bebama. There are different explanations where Reb Yehuda is telling us, but one view brought by the Mishnah LeMelech is that there is no korban mincha that's brought on a bama katana outside of the mishkan. A korban mincha can only be brought inside the mishkan. And now we're continuing with the list of differences between the mizbeach and the avoda when done in the mishkan and outside of the mishkan at this time that there was a heter bamos v'chihun. Only when doing the avoda inside the mishkan do you require a kohen, for example, to do the zrika. But outside of the mishkan, if you're bringing a korban on your own bama, you don't require a kohen. Ubigdei shareis, and you no requirement when the kohen is indeed doing the avoda inside the mishkan. There was a requirement that he wear the special clothing of the kohen, but if you're doing the avoda outside, first you don't need a kohen, and you also don't need the bigdei shareis to do the avoda outside of the mishkan. Ukli shareis, various parts of the avoda inside the mishkan require the special vessels and bowls, like the kabbalah of the dam has to be done in a kli sharis, but there's no requirement to have any kli sharis outside of the mishkan. V'reach nichoach, our bartanur explains what's the reach nichoach, that when it comes to the mishkan, you have to put the limbs on the mizbeach while they are raw. You're not allowed to, for example, roast it first and then put it on the mizbeach, because it has to be l'reach nichoach l'Hashem, a sweet-selling scent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that comes when you put it on raw. But that requirement does not apply when you are putting limbs on a bama ketana, a bama outside of the mishkan. You would be able to cook it first, you roast it first, and then put it on the mizbeach thereafterward. Umechitzas bedamim, on the mizbeach that was in the mishkan, there was the chut hasikra, which was a chut, was a line that went in the middle of the mizbeach, halfway up from the bottom, halfway from the top, so right in the middle of the mizbeach, going around it, and that signified that some of the zrikas hadam for certain korbanos was done above that line and some was below. That indeed did not apply for any bamos outside of the mishkan. You didn't need a chut hasikra to demarcate between the top and the bottom of the mizbeach. And continuing, that's the mechitzas hadamim, badamim, the mechitzah, the barrier, the mechitzah between the blood below and blood above. That only applied in the mishkan. Virichutz yadayim v'raglayim, and also the requirement to wash hands and feet before doing the avoda, that applied only in the mishkan, not outside the mishkan. Those are a number of issues that we distinguish that apply the stringency or requirements of the mitzvah apply only in the mishkan, not outside the mishkan. And there's certain things that apply to both, whether you're bringing a korban inside the mishkan or you're bringing it on your personal bama. Now we're going to be three things that apply in both of the situations. Aval hazman. Hazman is talking about if somebody had a thought to do the haktara, the burning of the sacrificial parts of the mizbeach, of the korban, at the wrong time, or to eat it at the wrong time, that makes it a pigul. That was the subject matter. We've seen it throughout the Masechta, especially in the second parak. So that somebody having those improper thoughts when bringing the korban, that's going to apply whether in the mishkan, that korban is brought in the mishkan, or outside the mishkan. If somebody has the thoughts of chutz lizmano, that is going to make that korban a pigul. V'hanosar, nosar means that the meat, it was left over and not eaten in its proper time. So you waited too long, you didn't eat it, that neat becomes noser and has to be burned. So that's going to apply also outside the Mishkan, not only in the Mishkan. Vehatame, and Bartanura explains, what does that mean? The Tame, so we'll read it inside in the Bartanura. Afal pishazar kasha lakriba bama, even though we said that a non-Kohen can do the hakrava, can do the offering on the bama outside the Mishkan. We only need a korban inside the Mishkan, but we are not going to be lenient when it comes to a tame, a person who is tame. They are not allowed to do the avoda and bringing the korban, and that is not only in the Mishkan, but outside the Mishkan as well. So outside the Mishkan, we are going to be lenient when it comes to not needing a kohen. You don't need a kohen, but you cannot use somebody who is tame. And the Mishnah says in all of these three, the zman, making something pigol, the meat becoming noser after the allocated time to eat it, vahatame, and somebody doing the hakrava when he is tame, shavin bazeh ubazeh, this applies both to the avoda in the Mishkan and outside the Mishkan on the bama katana. These indeed are going to be problematic and invalidations or isurim, as it applies not only inside but outside the Mishkan as well.